Investment flash.
All right. London, copper at records, bonds pricing a hike, and software CEOs can finally exhale. Let's break it down.
I'm Marie. This is Investment Flash, London edition, Wednesday, September 9th. Tom's here, Gerald's here, and the macro is doing something weird. Let's get into it.
Okay. The morning's biggest tension is rates. Treasury yields up, but the dollar fell. That's not supposed to happen if the Fed is hiking on strong jobs.
Right, and the yen is surging on the same move. Carry trades are getting squeezed, and that hits Bitcoin and risk assets across the board.
So the long-duration Treasury ETF is sitting 1% above its 52-week low. Everyone is already short duration. That's crowded. The dollar leg is less obvious, but the dollar ETF is only 2% below its high.
Yesterday, I said sell long-duration Treasuries. Today, that looks even better on paper, buddy. But honestly, when a trade is that crowded, I start looking for the exit before the stampede.
No way, Gerald. The move's just getting started. If the Fed hikes next week, the long end has further to fall.
But the dollar falling alongside higher yields is weird. It suggests the market is pricing oil into the inflation path, not just jobs. That's a different regime.
Exactly. That's the thing. Shorting the long-duration Treasury ETF here is like shorting something already at the bottom. I'd rather short the dollar and the yen crosses.
So sell the dollar ETF and sell dollar yen. Fine. But the rate story is still the big one for me.
Then there's copper. Records on both US and UK exchanges. Tariff fears, supply tightness, and CoinDesk is adding AI demand on top. The copper ETF is 1% below its high.
And Freeport McMoRan is up 47.5% year to date. Buddy, that's a freight train. And it's only 5% from its 52-week high.
Look, copper's supply story hasn't broken, but Freeport at 47% year to date. The easy re-rating is done. I'd rather own the copper ETF than chase the miner.
Fair point, but the tariff distortion isn't going away this week. If anything, the squeeze gets worse before it gets better.
And remember yesterday? We had a buy on the copper tracker. It's up again. And the copper squeeze is the one trade holding the macro tension together.
Ha ha ha, you called copper, I'll give you that. But if bonds are smelling a hike, the dollar should be stronger, not weaker. That tells me this is more about physical shortage than macro.
Exactly.
Right, right.
That's the whole story. Okay, shift gears. WSJ's Asa Fitch says AI disruption is hitting software slower than feared. Salesforce and Workday are being pummeled, but the financials still hold.
Salesforce fell 3.9% last session, Workday 4.9%. Workday is now 25% below its high at 14 times forward earnings. That's cheap for a software name with a sticky base.
Cheap? 14 times forward for a company whose growth is decelerating into an AI wave? That's not cheap. That's a value trap until proven otherwise.
But if the AI disruption timetable keeps slipping right, the pummeling looks overdone. Both names are showing financial strength. I'm more constructive than you, Gerald.
See, Gerald, even Marie is on the growth side today. Buy Salesforce, buy Workday. Maybe the software ETF if you want broad exposure.
All right, I'll give you the low bar. If AI fears don't materialize, the snapback is violent. But I'm watching the next quarter's guidance, not the share price.
Citi's quant work is interesting. U.S. stocks usually stumble after the first Fed hike, while Japan and U.K. equities average 2 to 3.
Japan's already up 20.4% year to date, 1% from its high. The easy money's been made. But UK equities, the UK ETF is only 2% below its high and lagged. That's the better relative trade.
Japan's my favorite, buddy. It's a momentum machine. But I'll take the UK exposure as a value hedge. The UK ETF does have more room.
Hold on. Citi's saying relative rotation, not absolute U.S. shorting. So you hold the S&P 500 ETF, but you add Japan and U.K. That's a clean way to express the post-hike regime.
Exactly. And if the Fed doesn't hike, the trade still works. those markets have structural reasons to catch up.
Fair enough. S&P 500 ETF hold, Japan ETF buy, UK ETF buy. Got it.
The UK just paid its highest borrowing cost since 1998 at a 30-year gilt auction. 30-year yields at 5.82%. That's not a typo.
And the FT is all over it. The UK long gilt ETF is down 3.3% year to date, and the long end is still bleeding. The global bond sell-off is now hitting public finances directly.
So sell UK long gilts? Gerald, your bond doom loop returns.
Fair. But this isn't doom, it's math. When a government pays the highest in decades to borrow, the short on long duration is the cleanest expression.
And it's not just the UK. This is the same story as US rates, but with a fiscal twist. Long end weakness is global.
Right, so the trade is sell the UK long gilt ETF. Fine, I'll add it to the short duration basket.
Crypto is splitting in a way that matters. Bitcoin slipped to 78,874. BNB chain tokens bucked the sell-off, and CoinDesk ties it all to that yen rally and higher yields.
And then there's the Kronos rollback. Validators rewrote nearly 2 hours of chain history to recover $111 million, leaving attackers with only $9.19 million.
That's the most original take today, honestly. If validators can reverse an attack, what exactly is immutable? The money recovery is real, but the governance precedent may matter more.
No, but that's exactly my point. This is a state rollback on a supposedly decentralized network. It's a fork in the industry's road, and nobody's pricing that risk.
Exactly.
That's the whole thing.
Spot on.
For real, though, BNB relative strength is the alpha here. Sell Bitcoin, sell Kronos, buy BNB. Selective exposure, not index-level direction.
Sell Kronos makes sense to me. But buying BNB on relative strength alone, that's a momentum call, not a fundamental one. Fine, but size it small.
The divergence argues for selective crypto exposure. I agree with Tom on BNB, but I want to see volume confirmation before I call it a trend.
Defense is getting a nod from UBS. They say a major defense company has earnings upside investors are not appreciating. CNBC hides the name, but the sector's got room.
The defense ETF is 13% below its high. Lockheed Martin, 23% below, at 16 times forward earnings. That's a value guy's playground.
Hold on. The headline hides the name, so conviction is low. But the direction is clear. Buy the defense ETF. Maybe Lockheed if you want a single name.
Lockheed's the likely candidate. 16 times forward, 23% below its high, that's a re-rating waiting for a catalyst.
All right, I'll take the defense ETF for the diversification. Lockheed is fine, but the sector's been left behind for a reason. Let's see the earnings.
Vodafone Ziggo sold tower assets for 670 million euros to a Digital Bridge-led consortium. Liberty Global gets a cleaner balance sheet ahead of the Ziggo spinoff.
Liberty Global is 21% below its high and trading at 0.4 times book. Debt reduction can unlock value. That's the deleveraging candidate.
Vodafone's stake benefits modestly, but the stock is already up 26.4% year to date. Most of the moves in the price, so hold Vodafone.
The tower sale is small, but it's the signal. Deleveraging is back in favor. Liberty Global is the cleaner expression.
South Korea's budget office says stablecoins could save merchants $3.8 billion a year, but they disintermediate banks. That's a structural risk hiding in a payment story.
The South Korea ETF is up 85.8% year to date, 14% below its high. Korea beta is already hot. The stablecoin risk is real, but distant. Watch. Don't short.
Regional banks, too. The regional banks ETF is 5% below its high. This is a global echo, but it's not an action item today.
Uber is going for a Hong Kong operator license by end of October. Macau users were the largest non-local riders. That's a major Asian market opening.
Uber is down 11.7% year-to-date, 28% below its high at 16.6 times forward earnings. A regulatory green light could re-rate the name hard.
Regulatory approval is the key word. If it goes through, Uber gets a new growth leg. But Hong Kong is notorious for taxi politics.
I'm buying Uber here. The valuation is already compressed, and any positive news is a catalyst.
Before we wrap the view, as always, none of this is investment advice. Here's our view. The dominant tension is a bond market repricing the Fed while a commodity boom refuses to blink. Yields up, dollar down, copper at records. That's a market trying to hold two opposite regimes at once.
The bear case is positioning is already where the story points. The long-duration Treasury ETF at its 52-week low means short-duration is the crowd. Freeport up 47.5%. The South Korea ETF up 85.8%. Crowded trades unwind fast if Friday's jobs data softens.
But what's missing is energy beyond oil's effect on yields. Copper is covered, but oil's rise into the hike odds narrative gets only a passing mention. If oil stays elevated, the rate path is not just about jobs.
Exactly. Nobody is pricing the second round inflation leg. That's the blind spot.
So our cleanest expression is not one ticker, it's relative value. Long copper producing equities funded by short long duration treasuries. That captures both sides without paying for crowded single name shorts.
I like that. Copper plus short treasuries. It's the macro pair trade.
That's the London edition for today. If you're just finding us, hit follow on Spotify or check investmentflash.com for the full digest with charts and sources.
We're back with the New York edition later today at 9 a.m. New York time. Don't miss it.
See you there, buddies. See you there, buddies.